The scripture text for the message this morning is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. At last we come this morning to the concluding verses of this great book, the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Beginning at the 8th verse this morning, and I'll read from there through the end of the chapter. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed, till the end of time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. We have seen throughout this wonderful vision in the last two chapters of the book of Daniel, that the speaker, the one who reveals these things to Daniel, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God as he speaks to his servant Daniel. In response to the earnest prayers that Daniel had there in chapter 9 for the people of God, as they were yet in captivity in the land of Babylon, but Daniel, by reading in the book of Jeremiah, had understood the prophet to say that the captivity would be for 70 years. And so he cries out to God on behalf of his people that God would be merciful to them, that he would free them from their captivity and return them, restore them to the land of Israel. And so this revelation was given in response to Daniel. And just by way of a very quick review, you may recall that while the Lord says indeed that the people will be delivered again, that there are yet many periods of suffering and tribulation that are referred to even as the indignation of the Lord against his people that will yet be until the time of the end. This may help you to understand Daniel's perplexity about all these things that were revealed to him. Now this section, the concluding verses of chapter 10, chapter 12, the last book in the book of Daniel, begins with a question. Daniel says, And I heard, verse 8, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? And from the answer given to Daniel by the Lord, I think there are two things that stand out in my mind, and I trust in yours as well. First, there is laid down here principles that have to do with how you and I can come to understand biblical prophecy. Now, I hope I can make that clear in just a moment. And this section concludes with some very comforting words to Daniel concerning his death. Go thy way till the end be, which is the time of your death, for you will rest, your body will rest in the grave, but you will stand in your lot or in your inheritance in the latter days. So Daniel doesn't get an answer to his question, but the Lord provides these comforting words, which I trust will be a comfort to you too. Now the text begins with this question in verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? Now, in order to understand the significance of this question, it's good for us to back up a little bit, beginning with the 6th verse. Because here is the Son of God standing in the middle of the Tigris River. Daniel receives this revelation on the banks of the Tigris, and he sees Christ in the middle of the river standing really above the waters, and there are angels on either side, and they speak to the one in the middle, to the Son of God. And they say there in verse 6, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? How long will it be until this, until the reign of the Antichrist that is spoken of in chapter 11, and his end, and the resurrection, the time of trouble and resurrection that is spoken of in the first two verses of chapter 12? How long will it be? The angels desire to look into these things. And then the man clothed in linen, which is above upon the waters of the river, the Son of God, he holds up his right hand and swears by the throne of God and binds the throne of God that it will be a time and times and a half until these things be accomplished. In other words, an indefinite period of time. No A specific period of time is given in answer to the question even the angels ask. But notice, but the Lord says, when he, that is when God, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, that is God's people, his church, all these things shall be finished. What a remarkable answer. When the church will be scattered. When the literally in the Hebrew tongue here, when the church will be broken in pieces, then will the end come. So Daniel doesn't understand. How can this glorious revelation end with the destruction of the church? The breaking of the church into pieces, God's kingdom in the world, where his name is honored and held up for the nations. And so he understands not, and he says, O my Lord, he says to the Son of God, the one who's been speaking to him, what shall be the end of these things? Now you see the word end a number of times in this last chapter. But here the Hebrew word is different. It means end in the sense of the very latest part of the end. Or the eschaton. It means issue. Daniel is saying, well, I hear these shocking words that before all of these things are fulfilled, the church must be scattered or broken in pieces. But what will the end be? What will the issue be? What's going to become of your kingdom? Is it all going to go down in ashes, in suffering and destruction? So he wants to know, what is the issue from this desolation, this dark picture that is given? And the answer comes in verse 9. And this too is a bit shocking. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. No answer is given. No answer is given. The Lord is saying in so many words to Daniel, don't occupy yourself any longer by looking further into this revelation. Don't inquire any further. Leave the matter alone, that nothing is to be added to what I've told you. And it's sort of the same idea as we saw there in verse 4. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, and so on. Well, what do you think about this answer? Daniel asks a question, and the answer in so many words is no. This is it. Now, some expositors see this denial of Daniel's request in absolute terms. In other words, that Christ is saying to Daniel, yes, I know you want to look into these things, but all of this is going to be shrouded in mystery until the end of the world. And you will only understand the meaning of these things when those that are alive at that time will see them unfolded. And according to this interpretation, there is the idea also that nothing more can be known about the end times than what is here revealed. But the Lord does not say to Daniel that nothing more will be revealed other than what is given to him in this present revelation. He just says, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. Don't occupy yourself any more for now about this matter. The Lord doesn't say that nothing more is going to be revealed, and that these things that concerning the end of God's kingdom in time and history will ever be shrouded in mystery, and that no one can really understand it until these things are unfolded at the end. He doesn't say that at all. He just says, for now, nothing more will be added. Now, there's some very important lessons here. And it is essentially that you and I must take, we must learn Bible prophecy one step at a time. One step at a time. Daniel could see this awful picture of the indignation of God poured out upon his people, the scattering of the church, and wants to know what is going to be the outcome. Daniel has already received many things, and he wants to know how to put it together in a whole picture of what God will be doing in time and history. But the Lord is telling him, for now, be content. Daniel must believe what the Lord has revealed without being able to see its connection to other things that he might have questions about. And you know, many Christians are this way. They want to see the whole all together. And until they see how it all fits together, they won't believe any particular part. But the Lord is saying to Daniel, Daniel, just believe what I've told you until such time as more light can be given. Daniel must be content to believe what has been revealed to him without presently being able to see its connection to other questions that he had about the kingdom of God in the world. In other words, without being able to see the complete picture. Now, from this revelation that is given in chapter 12 to Daniel, history appears to come to an end with a fearful scattering of the people. Because the angels asked the Lord, how long will it be till the end of these wonders? And the Lord says, it's an indefinite time in the future. But when the church is completely broken, then all of these things will be finished. It's a strange answer, isn't it? But you know, God doesn't live to satisfy our curiosity. He has his own ways and his own reasons. So the Lord has chosen to end this revelation in this rather ominous way. And Daniel must believe one step at a time without being able to see right away its connection to all other things. Now, I said that some commentators understand by this denial to Daniel that nothing can really be known about these things until those that live in these times will experience them. The Lord doesn't say this. In fact, much had already been revealed that's not revealed here in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah that came before Daniel. In fact, Daniel learned, and the reason he prays as he does in chapter 9 is because he has learned from reading the book of Jeremiah in exile. Not only that, but more would be revealed later. The prophecies of Zechariah and Malachi have additional information and light that is brought in to answer the very question that Daniel has here at the end of this revelation. Not to mention the New Testament, the revelation of our Lord in the great prophetical utterances that he gave in Matthew 24 and other places, and the writings of the apostles. And last of all, but certainly not least, the book of the Revelation, the Apocalypse. So the Lord is just saying to Daniel, believe this much. This is all for now. Don't occupy yourself anymore right now. But certainly Daniel must believe what has already been revealed to him. No, now Daniel must reflect. He must take the step he's already taken. What the Lord says here is very unique. That at the end of history, the church is going to be in one of the most desperate situations ever. But he can move now to consider other parts of the of God's revealed truth to him in times past. For example, Daniel is an old man now, but he can remember when he was much younger and Nebuchadnezzar had that dream about the great image. And all of these things have been written down. Daniel could move from that first step now to consider that vision and how that stone was cut out without hands and hurled at the foot of that image, and the whole thing, which represents the kingdoms of this world, begin to crumble and fall. And that there in chapter 2, that little stone that hit the image on the at the feet of the fourth kingdom becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. Daniel can also reflect upon the vision given to him in chapter 7 of this book, where he sees God the Father sitting with innumerable heavenly hosts surrounded him, the Ancient of Days, and the Son of Man is presented to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is given a kingdom that will last forever. The Son of Man comes on the clouds of heaven and comes near to the Ancient of Days, and we read there that there was given him a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. All of these other kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and all the extensions of it will be destroyed, and Christ's kingdom will be spread throughout the whole earth, and it will be a kingdom that will never come to an end. So he could reflect upon that, you see, and try to form a complete picture. But again, the point is one step at a time. At the end of this vision in chapter 7, speaking again of the end time, verse 26, the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, that is the dominion of Antichrist, to consume and destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. They're going to receive the kingdom on earth. And all dominions, all nations shall serve and obey him. So Daniel would have to reflect also on what has been revealed to him much earlier. Also, perhaps he would have to take the scroll that he had of Isaiah and Jeremiah and study those prophecies diligently to see more and more. Now, for you and me, this revelation is completed from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Malachi, Zechariah, the Gospels, the Epistles, and the book of the Revelation. It is all completed. But you have to learn it one step at a time. And that means what you hear expounded, believe, even though you can't see its connection to everything else, be like Daniel here and just believe that much. And then pray to understand how more pieces fit together. But you know, a lot of Christians are not that way. They want it all laid out in a neat, logical, coherent passage, package, and then they will believe it. And that's unfortunate, because then they believe a system of eschatology as a whole without coming at it by believing it step by step as God reveals it to them from His Word. And if that's the way you come to a concept, then once that concept is assimilated and in your mind, as you go through the Bible, you'll make everything fit that scheme that's in your mind. But see, God didn't give us revelation that way. God, we have the doctrine of the Trinity, for example. Not only in matters of prophecy, but in matters concerning God Himself. God doesn't give us three chapters where all of the orthodox doctrine of the Trinity is laid out in a nice logical package. It took the church no less than 300 or 400 years to see clearly how the pieces fit together in one doctrine of the Holy Trinity and the two natures in Christ, and we could go in many other directions as well. God does not write a textbook of systematic theology here in the Bible. And so, as God has revealed it this way, you ought to understand it this way. And so when you hear prophecy preached, believe that portion that God gives you and wait for further light, instead of withholding your faith until you can get it all together in your head and then you agree to the whole thing. How many understand what I'm saying? Daniel couldn't see what the Lord had revealed to him in connection with many other questions that he had, and instead of telling him, Christ says, don't occupy yourself anymore. For go your way for now. And I've been in the ministry for 40-some years, and I think I understand how people deal with prophecy. They can hear something that's very plain. For example, the Psalms are full of passages that say all kingdoms and nations and peoples will come and bow down to Christ, including America, if it's still here. And I think it will be. But they can't see the whole picture, and so they don't believe that much. But you need to take it in steps and pray that other pieces will be added until you have a more coherent picture of what is happening. Now the concluding words to Daniel, and I think they are words to you and me as well. The Lord does say one thing to Daniel. After he says, go your way for now. He says, many will be purified and made white and tried. Back to, again, the troubles of the church. Back to the troubles. Back to the breaking in pieces. Back to the scattering of the church. The Lord would focus Daniel's attention on things that are going to happen in the near term. There will be much trouble. And for Daniel, that was near at hand, would be, relatively speaking, the persecution of the church under Antiochus Epiphanes, concerning whom we've had a good, we have seen many things here. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. This indicates the purpose of God in persecution, to purify his saints. This emphasis, you can see there in chapter 11, which deals expressly with the persecution under the Syrian ruler Antiochus. Verse 35, some of them of understanding shall fall to try them. These are the elect of God, and to purge them and to make them white even until the time of the end. Persecution purifies the saints. It takes away the love of the world. It breaks down all of these ugly things, our pride and self-centeredness, and purifies and makes white the saints. And of course, God, as you've seen in the past, will be with his saints in these times to hold them up and to support them with comforts that we may know nothing of at the present. The wicked, in these times of persecution, they will continue to do wickedly, and none of them will understand what's going on. But the righteous, the elect, God's people, will understand, and they will see God at work in these things and be preserved by him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. And the Lord goes on to say, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, many commentators would see this as a reference to the reign of Antichrist at the end of the world, where, according to this prophetical scheme of things, the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews and sets up idol worship in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem in a time of great and terrible persecution. And they understand the 1290 days quite literally as the period of time this persecution will last, which is about a little more than 3.5 years. And the same way with the 1,335 days in verse 12. And the 1,290 days is included in the 1,335. And so, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But I will say this, the majority of commentators that you would respect see these two verses referring to the abomination of desolation in the near term. As far as Daniel's place in history is concerned, it would be set up in the temple of Jerusalem by the Syrian ruler Antiochus Epiphanes, who so dreadfully persecuted the church of God. And we've already been through that, how he set up a heathen idol in the temple and sacrificed pigs on that altar and made the Jews bow down to these filthy, abominable things on pain of death. And so many died. And the majority of commentators would see a reference to that period of time that was also about 3.5 years. And what about the additional period of time, the difference between 1290 and 1335? This would be from the end of Antiochus, who came himself to a fearful end, and to the end of that persecution until the worship of God could be reinstituted there in the temple in those times. So many things here. What is revealed to Daniel goes all the way out till the reign, to the reign of the Antichrist at the end of history. So many things are included here. But the Lord brings Daniel's attention closer in to the next baptism by fire of the church, which will be under this dreadful ruler Antiochus. But let's go on here. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Blessed is that one that patiently endures. Now, I know this may be a little complicated for some of you, but Antiochus, remember, is a picture of the Antichrist that's going to come at the end of the world. So, this, what the Lord says about the waiting and persevering through the persecution is also applicable to those that are alive during this fearful time at the end of history. And as we've seen, perhaps we're nearer to it than we think. Blessed are those that patiently wait and endure until the end. Blessed, happy are these, because these will try men. These times will show who has a true and inward faith in Christ and who is just playing at religion. But blessed are those that endure. We think of the words of the Lord in Matthew 24, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's not how well you begin. Anybody can have a good beginning. Anybody can come forward and say, I'm a Christian, but will you endure through all the treachery of men and devils, through all the suffering, through all the persecution until the end? But those that do endure will be happy and blessed forever. And that is really the concluding note of this great book in verse 13. The Lord says to Daniel now, the revelation being completed, go thy way till the end be. And the end there means Daniel's death. Go on your way, expecting, Daniel, the end of your life. My purposes with you, as far as the world is concerned, are ended. I have given you my revelation. You have been my ambassador and mouthpiece to some of the greatest rulers in history. What a great man Daniel was. You know, Ezekiel, later, in pronouncing judgment on God's people, he says, you are so evil and sinful that even if Noah and Daniel and Job were here, they would only deliver their own lives and you would die and go to hell. Daniel was a great man. And the Lord says, go your way expecting the end of your life. How many of you are expecting the end of your life? This is, the Lord is not saying this to Daniel as something to be dreaded. For he says, for thou shalt rest. You will come to the end of your labors. Blessed are those that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, all of their sufferings, all of their trials, all their work for the Lord is over, and their bodies rest from all of this, and their souls forever behold the face of God in light and glory, awaiting the redemption of their bodies in everlasting glory. And there's an allusion even to that resurrection, because he says to Daniel, stand in thy lot, meaning thine inheritance. At the end of the days, you will, we think of the prophecy of this resurrection there in verse 2, those will be delivered. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake unto everlasting life. Because the sons of God will then their bodies being raised incorruptible and reunited with their souls already in heaven, beholding the face of God, will be glorified together with Jesus Christ the Son. So Paul says in Romans, if we suffer with him now, we shall also be glorified together with him. What an amazing statement that we poor wretches will be receive the same glory with which God the Father glorifies his Son. To be glorified, the glorification of the sons of God is correlative with the glorification of the eternal Son of God, the God-man, at the end of time. This is the prospect held out to Daniel. Go your way until the end of your life, because you will rest and stand in your inheritance at the end of the days. I don't know what history holds in store for us. I mean, I read the newspapers every day the way you do and look at television. I don't know how close we are to the end. We should be wise, and we should all be students of prophecy, and the best way to do that is to take it one step at a time. But I know the end will be glorious. There will be trouble. The Lord is saying to Daniel, yes, I'll bring, in chapter 9, he's burdened about the Jews that are still there in Babylon, and God is saying, I'm bringing them out, but there are going to be persecutions, tribulations, the pouring out of my judgment upon my backward people until the very end. And even at the end, the people of God will be scattered. But hold fast. And you must endure until the end. So may God give us grace to know that the book of Daniel ends in this beautiful way. Are you ready for the end? There's a sense in which the believer should desire to depart and be with Christ and to die and to leave the troubles of the world behind. Our home is not in this world. Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye died when you believed. And your life, your true life, is hid with God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So go forth in this sure and certain confidence. May God be praised for all his revealed truth. Let us pray. Shall we rise for prayer? Our God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for the great lessons that are here. May we learn from this denial of Daniel's request at the end of this revelation to believe what is given to us, though we are not able to see the issue of all of the questions that we have. But give us faith to believe one step at a time, one utterance at a time, until we can see more clearly all of these glorious things. We thank thee that we know that the kingdom of God on earth will not end in desolation, in defeat, and the breaking in pieces of thy people, but that the evil powers that assault thy church will all be scattered themselves and destroyed until Christ's great kingdom fill the entire earth and all nations and kindreds and peoples serve him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.